We are going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is the word of the Lord.
As I was thinking about this day, I was thinking about war. War is messy. War is confusing. War is costly. We want peace. We want freedom. I just wonder, people want wars to cease. I want them to cease. But then I ask the question, I want to ask you, is there anything in your mind that would justify war? Is there anything in your mind that would justify you taking another person's life? Is there anything that you would be willing to die for? Today, Memorial Day, we're one of those who were not only willing, but died for our freedom. Sergeant Major Bill Paxton said, "May we never forget our fallen comrades. Freedom isn't free." This statement is true concerning personal, national, and spiritual freedom. Freedom isn't free. I do not know the personal agony of those who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. I do not know the agony, what those are going through, family and friends who lost a loved one who paid the ultimate price. I don't know that. I don't say that I understand that. But I believe in the words of Ronald Reagan when he said, "And if words cannot repay the debt we owe to these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with the vision that led them to battle and to the final sacrifice." Today, I will be applying Ronald Reagan's words to personal, national, and spiritual freedom. My thoughts will be taken from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10. Paul in 2 Timothy, while in a Roman prison expecting to die, he had no expectations of deliverance at this time. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, you can read about that. He was expecting to die. He wrote to encourage Timothy that he had a cause worth dying for. Paul encouraged Timothy to be strong, to endure hardship, to remain focused and loyal to Christ. As he preached the word and proclaimed the gospel, at a time of increasing persecution. Additionally, Paul encouraged Timothy to teach others to commit themselves to a cause worth dying for, the freedom of people from the oppression and eternal damnation of sin. I like to think of these as military special forces for the Savior. Special forces. They have a cause worth dying for. Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force. They're the elite of the elite. And I imagine as I preach this message, many of you will find no resonance with it. You don't understand this, and you don't want to hear about it, but what I'm asking God is, give me some. Give me some people to say, I want to be special forces for the Savior. As I remember this day and remember those who died for my freedom, I want to be willing to die for a cause. Not only national and personal freedom, but also spiritual freedom. I'm going to talk about special forces have a cause worth dying for. Then I'm going to talk about the supreme special force example of person. And then we'll talk about some applications. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man has not found something worth dying for, he's not fit to live. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up that he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Special forces are characterized by strength, perseverance through hardship, focus on the right priorities, and loyalty. Special forces have a cause worth dying for. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I like the way this starts because Paul is talking to Timothy, a pastor who is to train others to be pastors, to train people to have a cause worth dying for, that is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first things he starts off with, he says, be strong. You and I need to be strong. We're living in a day and age where we don't know what's happening. They're saying that mental health is a national crisis in our land. Our young people are struggling with it. Old people are struggling with it. We're uncertain about everything. We don't know what's going on. We got a war over in Israel. We got a war with Russia and Ukraine. We got other wars sparking all around us. And our country is, we don't know what's going on. We got an election coming up. It's a time when we need to be strong. But what I love about it, he says, be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not naturally strong for these things. But I know a God who saved me and dwells me by the Spirit of God and gives me grace. And there's grace in Christ Jesus that you and I can be strong. And you and I to be strong. We're not strong in the government, not strong in ourselves, but strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians 6:10, Paul says there, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's you and I've got to learn to get a hold of. We got to learn to look at our Bibles as true. We got to read them and trust them and believe them. And we need to experience the presence of God and the grace of God in such a way that we're convicted that the God who saved us indwells us, he's with us, and he will deliver us. Put you at peace. There's a life to live. G.K. Chesterton said, courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. A strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. We need to be strong in the Lord. I loved this Special Forces Creed that I found. I Googled it. This is Special Forces, Military Special Forces. And here's what the creed says. I am an American Special Force soldier. I will do all that my nation requires of me. I am a volunteer, knowing well the hazards of my profession. I serve with the memory of those who have gone before me. I pledge to uphold the honor and integrity of their legacy in all that I am, in all that I do. I am a warrior. I will teach and fight whenever and wherever my nation requires. I will strive always to excel in every art and artifice of war. I know that I will be called upon to perform tasks in isolation, far from familiar faces and voices. With the help and guidance of my faith, I will conquer my fears and succeed. I will keep my mind and my body clean, alert, and strong. I will maintain my arms and equipment in an immaculate state befitting a Special Forces soldier, for this is my debt to those who depend upon me. I will not fail those with whom I serve. I will not bring shame upon myself or special forces. I will never leave the fallen comrade. I will never surrender, though I am the last. If I am taken, I will pray that I have the strength to defy my enemy. I am a member of the nation's chosen soldiery. I serve quietly, not seeking recognition or accolades. My goal is to succeed in my mission and live to succeed again. What's your mindset about being a Christian? Voluntary? Special forces are voluntary. You got to do this. No. It's voluntary. They volunteer for it. But they got to be strong, and you and I got to be strong. We need to give ourselves away to the Lord. I want you to note the special forces. Not only are they called to be strong, but they are trained to suffer hardship, even death. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul says to this young preacher, "And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Then verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, you and I can think, "Hey, man, I've been saved. I'm indwelt with the Spirit of God. God's hands on me. Nothing can touch me. Life is going to be a piece of cake." Then you find out it's like war. It's like assault. Some of you are going through divorce. You're going through betrayal. You've been hurt financially. You've been hurt physically. You've been hurt mentally. It's like things are torn apart. What is this life all about? When I signed up to be a Christian, I didn't sign up for this. Kind of reminds me, I was going to the airport in Atlanta, and I was going up. And the mayor came on, and the mayor gave this glowing report about thanking our soldiers for what they do and how they give their lives for us to keep us safe. And this guy was up to the top, and he looked around, he exhaled an expletive, and he says, "I ain't giving my life for nobody. I give my life for the man next to me in that field. That's all I'm giving my life for." And I thought, whoa. But being a soldier is hard. Seeing people die. Seeing kids die. Innocent people die. Living with that. It's hard. But soldiers have to endure hardness. They're in war. Spiritually, you and I, we face the things that are hard. They hurt. They're nasty. They're bloody. They're destructive. They're costly. But we have to keep going. He says, endure hardship. Commit this to others. Bring them up. But listen, you and I, we're fighting. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our weapons, according to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, our weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You and I must endure hardship. 2 Timothy 1, down to verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance a genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Not ashamed of the gospel. Paul says, he's not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 8, he says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus." Oh, my friend, we have a great work. He was telling Timothy, listen, you've been saved, you've been gifted of God, but Timothy, you're a little afraid, you're a little timid. It might be like you. You said, "Brother, well, I'm saved, and I know I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God, and I know God has gifted me, but this world of people attacking me, calling me names, I'm fearful." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Soldiers endure hardness. Timothy, take heart. See what God has done. See what other people have confirmed on your life and live it out.
Paul says in this text, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Be loyal to the faith. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Philetus and Hermogenes." Listen, beloved. You and I are living in a time when there's increasing persecution on Christians. Governmental persecution, persecution in the workplace, persecution in the community, persecution in education. If you're going to live for Christ, you're going to have to decide the Spirit of God's in you. You're going to decide what team you're going to be on. And beloved, I want to say to you, you and I, we are special forces for the Savior. The Spirit of God indwells us. We need to cry out to him and submit to him and hang together and stand in the midst of persecution. It's only going to get worse. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10, he tells Timothy, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Listen, beloved, you and I have the only message that can save people. They're headed to hell, real hell. You think war is horrible? You haven't seen a pitch of hell, and people be there for all eternity. You and I have that gospel. They're dependent on us. We gotta be great soldiers. We gotta endure hardness for the sake of those whom God will save. Where you work, where you live, in your home. I like this Green Beret ballad that was written back in the 60s. I don't know. I remember hearing it when I was a kid. When I heard this as a kid, I thought, I want to be a Green Beret. I'm a young and foolish. I ran in the trees because I want to be tough. One-handed chin-ups. I'm going to be one of them bad boys. Now, I'm going to read there about it. Now, women don't get mad. It's in context. I'm reading what they said. It doesn't mention women, but I know you got some bad women out there, too, so don't lose me, okay? But I want to read this ballot. And I want you to think about the commitment of it, what they're saying. "Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chests, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chests, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her his last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret." That's something worth dying for. What this talks about is an individual who's in this soldier position, prepared to die, and even says, if I die, if a beret dies, he wants his wife to take his son and prepare him to be a Green Beret. They have a cause worth dying for. Do you have a cause worth dying for? Special forces are called to be strong. Special forces are called to endure hardship. Life is hard. It's really hard. But you got a cause worth living for, worth dying for. Special forces soldiers are focused on the right priorities. 2 Timothy 2, 4 through 8. No one engage in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We heard about it at the beginning of the service. Focus. They focus on the right priorities. Paul uses these illustrations. Soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. I got a good friend of mine. He says what this verse means is that no Christian should be in politics. I said, that verse didn't say that. But I understand what he's saying, but I want to say this to you. I don't care where you're in politics, or wherever you are, whatever, you need to be focused. A soldier has to be focused. They have to get the right priorities. They don't get entangled with all the little arguments and stuff going on, the nonsense and stuff that's not true and all that. They got a focus, they got a mind, they got a mindset, they got a mission, they got something to do, and they're trained to do it to win. People can be protesting. People can call them names. People can say, we don't want you here. They're focused. Comrades can be wounded. Comrades can be killed. They're focused. They've got the priorities. They know why they're there. They know their mission. They know what they're supposed to do. You and I are supposed to be that way. Don't get all tangled up. There's so many things on TV and on news and on shows and on TikTok and whatever the thing calls. Used to be Twitter, but X, I think. Yeah, X is a good name. X it out. But but I understand you got to get something, but get to the truth and get focused. We got a job to do. The athlete, compete, but he got to compete to the rule. Elite athlete. Some people are, you can be anything you want to be. That's a lie. Some of you ain't got the bill to be some of this stuff, but if you got it in, you can't just be, you got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to train. You got to discipline yourself. You don't just, I can do that. You're lying. God trains us to serve him just as an athlete. Compete by the rules. God has rules. Do what he tells you to do, but train yourself. Get yourself exercised to godliness. We'll talk about that here in a minute anyway. Let me get on down here. He says, in verses 14 through 18, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they which increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. He talks about people denying the faith. You and I, we're here at College Park. We want to hold on to sound doctrine. We want people to know the Lord and know what his word has to say. And yet there are false teachers out there. We got to be focused like special forces. 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 26 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call out on the name of the Lord of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they gender strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That is so descriptive of America right now. So many conversations are about nothing. And you and I have the truth, and we're silent. Special forces, something worth dying for, to get people the gospel, get off the petty stuff and get on the real stuff, that with eternal consequences. In fact, we need to complete our mission, even in the face of death. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, if he's writing to Timothy, he says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearance." Beloved, special forces, their focus, even if you know you're going to die. Following God is so costly right now that I can see my life will be taken away, but that won't stop me. Paul said, "I'm in chains, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. God's not going to deliver me. But I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith." Will that be said of you? Will that be said of me? Special forces. To be strong. Endure hardship. To be focused. And then finally, they seek to please their commander. Loyalty. 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 4. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Notice that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Hardworking farmer," so on and so forth, we read. But here's the concept. Loyalty. Who you want to please? Fear of man is a snare. I want them people to like me. They don't like me. Oh, your life's falling apart. Get a life. Listen, the person who I want to hear likes me, his name is Jesus Christ. If I stand before the Lord and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," hallelujah. The rest of y'all, you didn't even like the boy, that's your problem. The Lord loves the boy and he's good. You and I need to live that way. I mean, you don't be nasty to people, but you just can't let your life go like a yo-yo. You know, they like me, I'm great. Oh, they don't like me, I'm bad. Oh, forget all that stuff. Just live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Special forces, they know their commands. They got it from a commander. They know their mission. They know what they got to do, and they're committed to doing it. You and I have a commissioner. His name is Jesus Christ. He told us what we need to do in the Word of God. We need to get our faces in there and obey him. Speaking of that, it brings me to the supreme special force person. I don't have time to go through all these scriptures. Most of you are Christians, you know them. Those of you not Christians, I'm just going to encourage you with the message. Jesus had a cause worth dying for. There was a divine council in heaven, according to Ephesians 1. The Father came up with a plan. This plan Humanity will sin and they'll be destined to hell and separated from me for all eternity. The only way that there can be a solution, somebody has to go and die for them in their place. Somebody without sin, somebody needs to go. The Holy Spirit said, well, I tell you what, I'm not going, but I will empower. Whatever the plan is, I'll give the power for it. Jesus said, I volunteer. Jesus said, I'm willing to be born as a human being, suffer rejection, suffer being spit upon, being called names, being rejected by my own people, being falsely accused, being crucified. The Son of God, he did it. He came to die. That was his purpose. He died on the cross for you and me. He took it. In fact, when he was before Pilate and there, Pilate was getting, come on, man, speak. Defend yourself. I got the power to let you free. And Jesus, the only time he said anything, he said, stop the tape. Hold on. And then he said, you have no power over me, but such as given you for my Father in heaven. If I wanted to, I could call angels down here and kill y'all. Got that straight? Now start the tape over. And he allowed himself to be crucified. It wasn't because he was weak, but it's because of his love. He has something worth dying for. He died for me. He died for you. He died for those without salvation. And we have that message free. And he was buried. And you know and I know he accomplished his mission. He arose from the dead. He's alive today. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is the ultimate special force person. He gave it all so that we might have life. He died because of us. I want you to remember him because he's not just our example, but he is our provision. He is our resource. We get power from the Spirit of God. The Word of God. Spirit enlightens our eyes so that we can serve God. So then, how shall we live? What applications do we have? Special forces. And you might think, yeah, special forces, that's that elite people. I never could be one of those. But I want to tell you something. Some of you say, well, I'm old. I'm too old to be talking about special forces. Man, I can't be running and jumping and doing crazy stuff. The weapons of your warfare. Some of you are prayer warriors beyond comprehension. That's special forces. You might not be able to walk, but you can pray. You can share the word of God in different ways because the weapons of our warfare, they're different. So what I want to say to you is simply this, by application, are you strong in the Lord? Do you walk around telling people, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I can do nothing? That's sin, that's a lie, because you're Christian. Do you walk around saying, hey, I got it down, I can do everything? That's a lie. Or do you walk around and say, I'm weak in myself, but I'm strong in my Christ? That's the truth. And you and I need to practice that, think of who we are in Christ. We need to get the word of God in our soul, and by the grace of God and provision, endure hardness. I can't tell you that I'm going to endure everything. I look at all the stuff happening around my life and I just think, God, you're testing me. I'm going through all this stuff. I'm almost losing my sanctification. These people keep messing up my orders and messing up my... I want to give them a piece of my mind, but God says, no, that's a test because it's going to get worse. You ain't seen nothing yet. Do you realize that you're in the Lord's army? And you've been tested? And it's those little things as you get them, so you look for God's grace, you look for his provision. Get some of that so he can do it. Then focus on the right priorities. What are you thinking about? What are you looking at? Where's your mind? Write down some priorities. Write down some verses. Memorize some verses. Get your mind set on the right priorities. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then present yourself as a living sacrifice to Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm yours. I give my life away. It's all him. So what does that mean for you? What are you willing to die for? I worked with a lady for over 2 decades, Donna Hendricks.
She passed. They asked me to say some words at her funeral in April. She was Special Forces. I saw her cry once. She had a lot of challenges in her personal life, health challenges, family challenges, all kind of challenges. But she was always looking at Jesus, trusting Jesus. She got cancer. She had cancer for over a year, I think. She would text me from time to time, and to the best of my remembrance, she never asked me to pray that she be healed from cancer. She says, whatever the Lord wants, that's good. But she did say this: pray that my doctors, the nurses, my family will learn about Jesus. I want them saved. Folks, that's Special Forces. She was focused. She was a prayer warrior. And she was more concerned about others than herself. I want to leave you with this Special Forces prayer. Almighty God, who art the author of liberty and the champion of the oppressed, hear our prayer. We, the men of Special Forces, acknowledge our dependence upon thee in the preservation of human freedom. Go with us as we seek to defend the defenseless and to free the enslaved. May we ever remember that our nation, whose oath in God we trust, expects that we shall acquit ourselves with honor, that we may never bring shame upon our faith, our families, or our fellow men. Grant us wisdom from thine mind, courage from thine heart, and protection by thy hand. It is for thee that we do battle, and to thee belong the victor's crown. For thine is the glory and the power and glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be Special Forces for the Savior. We thank you for those military men and women who paid the ultimate cost. To you be the glory. In Christ's name, amen.